To start, I would like to thank the organizers, not only for inviting me, which is already nice, but also for allowing me to meet Peter, who I've never met before in my life, and it was a very, for me, a very pleasant meeting. Today I'm going to talk about something which has a lot to do with arrangements, although arrangements will never appear in the talk. But of course you will see vectors, so you have vectors are equations of arrangements in the dual space. So implicitly there is a lot to do with arrangements. So this is some work we did. So this is some work we did with Michel Vergne and Procesi, and it containing two archive preprints. One appeared in May, and the other appeared the day before yesterday. So it's really odd stuff. I mean, it's not work in progress, but so maybe it's also wrong. I don't know. So the first paper more or less tries to give the best possible proof of a well-known result, namely the local quasi-polynomiality of partition functions, which was proven, but we tried to do the most transparent proof. And in fact, it's inspired by works of people working in numerical analysis, approximation theory. And when you prove a theorem in the best possible way, which we believe is the best possible way, of course, you often end up doing something else. So in the second, we solved a little problem left out in the index theory by Atiyah and Singer, which is the computation, the determination of the range of the index of transversely elliptic operators with respect to a torus, which was, I mean, in their study, the key point in understanding the index for transversely elliptic operators. This was a part of the index theory which was sort of never so popular as the first two parts. The index theorem has three parts: the index for operator, elliptic operator, for G equivalent elliptic operator, and the more complicated one is transversely elliptic. These are not so very often encountered, maybe because, and also because I must say that, as I will comment later, what they wrote was really not very conclusive, and I will quote Atiyah about that. I will mostly tell you about the combinatorial part, which is the first paper today, and then at the end I will comment on the rest. So in order to, I usually am not able to say something which is not trivial, so I want to start with a very trivial thing, and namely we want to compute for a given n bigger than zero the dimension of the space of polynomials in n variables. And I want to comment on this computation, which is of course very easy. So Dogger would say this has to do with sections of the cohomology of bundles on projective space, but I want to be more stupid. So this number is given by this expression here, hopefully right, because the last time I spoke in front of him, he claimed it was wrong, but I'm quite sure it's right. And we remark that in fact this number also computes something else, namely computes the entropies of non-negative integers such that they sum up to H, and also the number of points with integer coordinates of the simplex, which is the intersection with the positive quadrant in Rn with the hyperplane of equation x1 plus xn equal h. So this number computes a lot of things, and eventually we want to generalize to compute the integer points or solutions, positive solution of linear Diophantine equations in the same fashion. So this is the, and of course when you take the generating function you get this expression. So the remark we want to make is that if we set this expression, then this function big P coincides with this where H is bigger than zero. So we could say it's a polynomial, because this is a polynomial in H. But in fact, it's not a polynomial. It's a polynomial in H when restricted to positive Z. And so when, but when H is smaller than Z, it is 0. But in fact, something remarkable happens, namely that the equality of these two functions is not only holding in the positive axis, but also a little bit, in the negative one. So this is a combinatorial fact that is going to be important. So, you know, we have that the equality holds in the slightly larger range, H bigger than N. So I want to write this in the blackboard and to fix the idea. So we have these functions, big P and H. And we have this polynomial function. And then we have this segment, 0, N. And then we want to think of these negative points as we take the origin, we take a very small point, x, near to 0, very small point, smaller than 1. And then we take this segment and we translate it. So here there will be minus n. And these are the integers points in these are exactly these integers. So the integers are just obtained by intersecting this segment minus this segment pointed in x with the integer value. Okay? And this will be generalized later on. Okay. And the second thing that this we have about this binomial coefficient is, of course, the famous Pascal theorem, or Tartaglia theorem, as we say in Italy, probably. But, you know, I was told because Tartaglia lived 100 years before Pascal, but then I was told that, in fact, Chinese mathematicians in the 13th century also discovered, and then Van der Gert told me even Indian mathematicians in the 9th century, so, I mean. In any case, we have this difference operator, and we can express the Pascal triangle by saying that if we apply this difference operator to this polynomial, we get the polynomial with n minus 1. It's just the same statement. And of course we can iterate the difference operator, just like a derivative, and after a while we get 0. So in fact, P and H is completely characterized by two facts, to be a solution of this differential equation, of this difference equation, and from the initial condition that is value 1 in 0 and 0 in all the other cases. So this is completely trivial fact, but this is, so the first thing we have to consider is this segment here. The second thing is nabla n of Pn equals 0. So these two facts, so you have value 0 in all points, and 1 in 0, and this fact completely characterizes, okay? So we have this nice phenomenon, and then we could ask if there is a generalization of all these considerations, and in fact this is what I want to explain, and the first thing we want to state is what is the problem. And the problem is the following. So we have this stupid example. The problem is we start with a vector space over the areas of finite dimension S, and inside it we take a lattice. And then we take a list, maybe a multiset, I don't know how you call it, so just a sequence of vectors with possible repetition in the lattice. And we assume for simplicity the expanse B. For example, in this case, we take R. Inside R, we take the integers. And as least, we take 1, 1, 1, n times. Okay? This is. So, in order to all our partition function make sense, we also assume that all these vectors lie on the same side of a hyperplane. So there is a linear function which is positive on all of them. Okay, then we can expand this in this way, okay, for any lambda. And then we can multiply them, and it makes sense to consider this function. So this function is called partition function of relative to the sequence x. It's of course a very complicated function. For example, if you take a root system and you take x to be the set of positive roots, you get constant partition function, which is important in representation theory, but of course you can do this. So this is called the partition. And then what I want to, so I don't know how this thing works, what I want to explain is how to say something about the qualitative behavior of this function. For example, whether it is a polynomial, like before, or something like that. Okay. So, of course, this partition function test is how many ways an element lambda in the lattice can be written as a linear combination with positive coefficients of these elements in this X. So before, of course, we were writing a number as sum of numbers, because A were all equal to 1. So, and so let me make some completely idiotic considerations, namely that if I consider the cone spanned by this ace, C is a pointed convex cone in Rn, and then of course the partition function is non-zero only inside the cone, because outside the cone you cannot do it. And then we can consider the map from R to the X to V, mapping X, mapping, this is a printing mistake, I mean mapping a function, no, mapping a function from X to R to F of A, okay? And then Px of lambda equals the number of integral points in the convex point of pi x, which is the preimage of lambda intersected the positive quality. So it computes some integral points in a polytope. Of course, this has been used, this by Posarpe, Kovansky, and Pulkikov, using toric geometry, but we want to be elementary today. So we want to say something about the qualitative behavior of this partition function. And so to do this, we need some combinatorial notions, which I'm now going to introduce. So the first thing is something that you know very well, is called the zonotope. Zonotope is just the image of the unit cube under this mapping from R to the X to V. So it's just a set of vectors which you can write as linear combination with coefficient between 0 and 1. So it's a sort of big complicated convex polytope, but with a lot of symmetry. It's a very special one. And it appeared, for example, in the talk of De Lucchi as one of the building pieces of this Salvetti complex. Okay, so we then set Sx equals the set of the subset of in X which are linearly dependent. And then we can consider all the cones span. These are lower dimensional cones. We had a bunch of cones. And then we can remove them. And what remains is called the set of regular points. Y is called the set of singular points. A connected component is called a big cell. And a connected component of V minus the vector spaces spanned by this B is called a top. So here we remove vector spaces, here we remove cones. You could believe that these are the same, but as you will see in a moment, they are not. So in fact, I think there is a printing mistake, because minus here means minus in the sense of set minus. Before, after will be minus in the set of minus, in the sense of in the vector sum. So this is an example. So this is the example of the positive roots of type A3. There are 6 of them, and you see you get 7 regions, and these are the 7 big cells. So a problem for combinatorialists is to determine those. It seems to be an extremely hard problem, I think that even for type A there is very little known. So it's of course, there is also a big cell which is the complement of the full cone, but this we will forget about, because there the function is zero, so we don't care. I mean, we only care about big cells inside. On the other hand, even inside, top A are more. For example, in this case, there are 8 tope. So there are more tope than cells. And but for our consideration, cells are more important than tope, because as we shall see. So these are the 8 tope in the topes, I don't know, in the case of A3. Okay, so now we have zonotope. So here, what is zonotope here is this segment, because we have to take 1, 1, 1, and then take the linear combination of 1 repeated of the segment 0, 1 n times means this segment. So this is zonotope. Okay? Then we have polynomiality, and unfortunately here we don't have polynomiality, so we have introduced a new notion. So this we have generalized. This is the zonotope. Okay? So polynomiality we need to generalize, and because it doesn't hold, you know, and we have to introduce this quasi-polynomiality, meaning that function from the lattice to C is quasi-polynomial if you can find a sub-lattice, maybe n times with enormous n times lambda, such that for any coset with respect to the sub-lattice, the restriction of the function is a quasi-polynomial. So you can say this in another way, this f is a linear combination of polynomials times periodic exponential, just by taking characters. So, in general, this gamma will be essentially the intersection of all sublattices spanned by bases you can start from x. So in this case it was polynomial because all this was a unimodular set of vectors. So for example, for n it will be a polynomial, but for all other root systems will be not a polynomial. Okay, so we give a simple and we believe illuminating proof of the following theorem, that for any big cell contained in Cx, there is a quasi-polynomial, Pxc, such that for lambda in C minus Bx, meaning now vector difference, so you take the big cell and you take all the points you can write as a point in C minus a point in Bx, meaning that you have this big, this cell, and then the theorem holds in a slightly, so B contains zero, so this set contains C, okay? So in a slightly larger set, okay? This is important because then there will be regions in which the two things coincide, then you can compare. And so that this is a quasi-polynomial. So this is a theorem which was proven in this generality, I don't know exactly, but let me say that the first proof in this generality I saw is in a paper by Senesh and Vernier in 2003. But for tope, it was known before. I think without the minus bx, it was known maybe a long time ago, I don't know. I saw an announcement by Gelfand and Zelevinsky, but I think that it appeared in the work of, appears in the work of these two people in numerical analysis, Damen and Michel, in 1988. For tope means that instead of C a cell, you say C a tope. So the same statement with tope. So it's a smaller set. So it's a, and as you will see from the proof, which I will sketch now, the proof is really much hard, not much, it's, I mean, I will sketch the proof for tope, but the proof for cells is more complicated. You have to also prove a wall crossing formula, and so it's really another theorem. So I think it's really due to this. These people use partial function expansions, a lot of, you know, rather elementary, but not so nice. Okay, so the next thing is there we have the Tartaglia triangle, so namely the difference operator. So we have now to say what are the set of difference equations which we want to look at them. And so we introduce difference operators, which are just this. For any function on the lattice, the nabla A of F is F of lambda minus F of lambda minus A. And then we also define another, I'm sorry about this combinatorics, but you know, it's needed. A subspace is called X-rational if it is spanned by the elements in X which lie in it. And then if you have a X rational subspace, you can define this T, which is just the product of, it's just sort of partial differential difference operator is product of all nabla A with A not lying in X in R, lying in X in. So this is what this nabla N is going to be now, generalization. Okay? So you see, in that case, the only rational subspace is zero. And then you have to take the product of all elements not in zero. But nabla 1 is nabla. And so nabla to, nabla times nabla, and times is nabla to the n, which is what we were looking at. So you see, all this stupid Tartaglia triangle is going to be generalized. And the following result just say this idiotic identity. And we translate it in this following way, that if you apply this to the partition function, the function we obtain is supported in the subspace. So functions which have this sort of inhomogeneous, solve this kind of inhomogeneous equations should be important, and so we give them a name. And this is the main idea of our paper, to introduce this space. The space of Fx is a space of integer value functions, such as for every rational subspace R, when you apply this nabla operator, this difference operator to F, you end up with a function supported in the subspace. Okay. So I will describe this space later on. And this space is just a space in which the support is not in the subspace, but in a translate of the subspace. So this is just a Z lambda module generated by F of X. And we were going to use it later in K theory. Okay. And then, of course, among all these guys, there are quasi-polynomials. But quasi-polynomial, which is supported in a sub-variety, a polynomial which is supported in a sub-variety is zero, because it cannot be zero. And then in a sub-spaces. These are these guys. The quasi-polynomial there are those guys. And this space we call DM, not because of the Lin-Manford as algebraic geometry, but because of Damen and Michelli. And this space is the space of solutions of this set of difference equations. It's a remarkable space, which was introduced. And then, in fact, I should point out that this is an historical false, because really the space DM was introduced before, in 1988, by these people, this space. And I must say that they were inspired, because these spaces are the space of, there is a completely much easier version with partial differential operators, and this space is the space of polynomials, the solution of this partial differential equation. It's exactly the space of polynomial lying in something called the Cardan-Splanck space, which is something they use to do approximation theory. So it's relevant because it's the space of best functions. And they, inspired by that, they introduced this. And on the other hand, the new space is this F of X, this space of inhomogeneous. Okay, so both spaces are three abelian groups of finite rank. DMX is rank equal to the volume of BX, which, as you probably know, is the number of indices of all sublattices spanned by bases you can extract from X. So it's a combinatorial invariant of the matroid, but from the point of view of integral matroid. While FX is rank equal to the sum of the volume of the zonotopes BX intersection R, the volume of a fundamental domain of the lattice assumed to be 1. We now want to use the two spaces to get our theorem. So I want to give the idea of the proof in the case of a zonotope. So remember that the function, partition function lies here, and the polynomials lie here. So what we want to show is that if we start with a function here and restrict it to a zonotope, this coincides restrict to the top. This coincides on the top with a quasi-polynomial here. So the difference of the two is zero on the top. It's not zero everywhere, but on the top. So for example, here the top is an half line. And so we want to find a polynomial, which is this small p, which coincides with this guy on the half line. Okay. Outside it doesn't coincide. In fact, all the half line minus this tonotope, which is what we had there. So what we do? What do we do? Yeah, for any tope and function f, there is a quasi polynomial f tau in dmx. That is for lambda in tau minus dx, which is vector difference, the two functions coincide. In particular, f coincides with a quasi polynomial there. So this is what we want to prove. And in fact, you can characterize completely this quasi polynomial like we had done before by initial conditions. Namely, this quasi polynomial for f partition function, this quasi polynomial is unique quasi polynomial which has value 1 in 0 and 0 in all other points of for lambda in x minus the zonotope intersection lambda, and x must be very, very near to the origin, which can be made the quantity that I don't want to make. So exactly what we have here. We have a function which satisfies a set of equations, in this case one equation. We have a function which, when you apply the nabla, is supported here in zero, you get one. And you have this set, and you have these initial conditions, and this completely idiotic consideration completely generalized to this case. Okay. So what is the in particular this contains the original Damian and Michelli result. In order to get the results, we have to show something, which I am now going to sketch. So for any top, we take a space. The idea is to, for any top, choose a complement in f of x of the dmx in a clever way, such that, first of all, it is a complement, and secondly, if f belongs to mt, then f vanishes identically on tau minus. Of course, if you have this, you are done, because you take your function, you write it as a sum of a function in dm and a function in tau, and f coincides with f1 in your set. So this is what you have to do. So I have to explain you how you construct this complement. Okay. So, in fact, you construct this complement step by step by not in one stroke, because it would be too complicated, but by filtering the space f of x by subspaces in which you ask that some equations are still inhomogeneous, some equations are homogeneous. So the ones that become homogeneous or real equations are the ones for spaces of small dimension. So of course, if you do it for all dimensions, you get dm. If you do it for no dimension, you get the whole space. So you have this filtration, where the last one is dm, and the last one is dm, and the first one is f of x. And then you take the quotient, and you discover that the quotient is again a dm space. Okay. So now what we have to, really what you want to do is to split each of these guys, one by one. So you have to find a section of this. Of course, this section cannot be arbitrary, but it depends on the tope. So how you do it? So you do the following, two such points in the tope, and you take a linear form on B, which vanishes on R, is non-zero in X minus R, and is such that is negative on X zero. Then you write this should be x minus r, so it's just a product of those which are not lying r, and so you divide this set in x minus r in two sets, the ones in which this function is negative and the one in which is positive. So if the value is negative, you expand 1 minus t to the a a summation t to the na, n bigger than or equal to 0. If p of a is positive, if p of a is negative, you write this as 1 t 1 divided by t minus a equals minus t minus a divided 1 minus t minus a, and so you write it as minus summation l negative t to the n a.
Okay? So you expand according to the value of this function. The expansion is not unique. So the ones in which you take negative positive value, you expand it with positive powers, the one in negative powers. You get this kind of function. And then you remark that this convolution with this function is well defined in with these elements. This is because, you know, to have well-defined convolution means that any element can be written in a finite number of ways as a sum of an element in which this is non-zero and the other one is non-zero. This is an exercise, and you do it, and so you use convolution, and then so I'm completely screwed up myself. Okay, so you do convolution, and this convolution gives the splitting. And in this way you prove the theory. It's very easy. When you want to go from Tope, first of all, the theorem is not true for sets in this generality. You really have to restrict to partition function. And when you want to go from Tope to sets, what you have to prove is a Wall crossing formula, which tells you how this quasi polynomial changes passing from one Tope to the other. And then, by definition of partition function, we have this Wall crossing polynomial will be zero on the bound on something the on the hyperplane divided two top lying in the same cell, and so you will get the same. But this is really something you have to work more. This is almost immediate fact. So we were very proud of this, and then I went to Paris for a while, and I met Michel, and she told me that could never understand this lecture note of Michael Attia, and so we said maybe this thing has to do it. So we worked, and let me tell you very quickly what we did. So from now on we will consider not the Fi but the F tilde I, which are the G lambda modules generated by this Fi. So you take more, you take those in which the support is in a translate. In a set of translations. And then at this point you have to pardon me, because I need to start another detour, and I have to tell you what is the index of a transversal elliptic operator, and maybe also what is a transversal elliptic operator. Maybe not, but I didn't know, so maybe you also don't know. But I learned all that. So we take a manifold with a infinity action of a compact group G. So I think that Peter will be happy to see transformation group. And one has the notion of transversal elliptic operator between two equivalent complex vector bundles on M. This is a pseudo-differential operator from the space of smooth section right on the space to smooth section or space gamma F of smooth section, which commutes with the action of G and is elliptic in the direction transversal to the orbit. So for example, the operator 0 on the circle is transversely elliptic. You know, this is a completely non-elliptic operator 0, because, you know, the elliptic operator should have a symbol which is finite kernel equivalent. But 0, because, of course, there is only one orbit. So let me make it precise. Let this star M denote the cotangent bundle of M, be the projection, and inside this M take the closed subset T star GM. Its fiber over a point is formed by all the cotangent vectors which vanish on the tangent space to the G orbit of X. So this is a very messy guy, because you see, the orbits have different dimensions. So it's true that the projection has fibers which are vector space, but sometimes it's of the vectors of dimension 2, sometimes 5, and so on. I mean, it's really a very nasty fellow. And Now I have to tell you what is a symbol. This is the usual thing. What means a smooth section T star M of the bundle of the bundles taken up. So for each point we have a linear map from the fiber in X to the fiber in X. But this is depends continuously on the cotangent vector. And then I can give you the definition. Pseudo-differential operator transversal elliptic is this symbol restricted to only to this subspace. It's an isomorphism outside a compact invariant subset. As a consequence, sigma defines a K-theory class in the topological equivalent K-theory group K0G T star GM. So let me say how you define an index, because the index will not be a number, will not be an element in the group algebra, it will be a distribution on the group in this case. So we take the equivalence classes, usually equivalence of finite dimensional representation, and we take the character group. And the index map is the following. First of all, you observe that the multiplicity in the kernel of A for this transversality of any irreducible is finite. So you have a function which is well defined on the equivalence classes of representations. Then you take a metric, you take the adjoint operator, and you show that also this is transversely elliptic, so the multiplicity of any is finite. So this defines an index. It defines an index, which is a function which gives on any irreducible representation the difference of MP A and of an empty A star. So we get this index. So remember, this index is a function of on the set of irreducible representation of G. And of course, you can show that the gross polynomial, so it's really a distribution on the group, but this, I'm algebraic, so I don't want to know. And then you show that this guy depends only on the symbol. So you get a map of RG modules from this K0 to this space of functions on irreducible representation. So for any element in the K theory of this T star G, you get a function on irreducible representation, which for a torus they are just what? Functions on a lattice. So at the problem of computer thinking can be reduced at least theoretically to the case in which G is a torus. For a given manifold, one then embeds M into a linear representation and is reduced to perform the computation in this representation. This I will not comment, also because I don't know. And so we now assume that G is a torus, M is a real G module, G at is then the lattice of characters, so all the irreducible representations of dimension 1. And so RG is just Z lambda, so we are really, you know, excited. And the case in which G is 1 has been treated by Atiyah Singer. The results appear in a lecture note by Atiyah. In the general case, they give a sort of algorithm to compute the index. So let me quote Atiyah. For a circle, the results are also quite explicit. However, for the general case, we give only a reduction problem and one might hope for something explicit. This property requires the development of appropriate algebraic machine involving cohomology but going beyond it. And my comment is indeed this turns out to be not quite true. The main new ingredient is the introduction of these spaces. So, and then the rest is completely trivial, more or less. So, in fact, Atiyah has done a lot of computation using K. I'm out of time? No, it's 5 minutes. You know? Using a lot of Cohen-Macaulay, you know, things that analysts could not really digest. And so we assume that G is a torus of dimension S. So given A in lambda, we denote by LA the one-dimensional complex G module on which G acts by the character e to the A. And it's easy to see that we can assume that A does not contain trivial components. In particular, it is even dimensional, and we can choose a complex structure on M in such a way that there exists an isomorphism of complex G modules with X a list of characters all containing an half space. So we can choose the complex structure by taking on each component, choosing either a complex structure or its conjugate in such a way that there will be a linear function which is positive. So we are really in business. We can use our machine. We could try to be in business. Okay, so at this point we have reduced to compute, remember, the index for this map when M is a linear representation which is a sum of one-dimensional representation given by characters which are at least like the one we were doing with this partition function business. No. And so we can try to do it. So in the partition function business, the key point was to filter the space f of x by this f phi of x. So can we filter our variety in the same way? Because, you know, then it could work. And then, of course, we can fit the variety by the dimension of the stabilizer. It's the same idea. We say mi, v, mx, that the g orbit has dimension at least I. So we have a filtration. Very nice. Looks the same. Then, of course, the open set of points in which has finite stabilizer is this m bigger than or equal s. And this should be this Diamond and Michelli guy. So what we are going to prove is that, first of all, what we prove is that k1 of this guy is always 0 for each I, and the index map is an isomorphism onto fi tilde of x. So that the index is, first of all, faithful, and secondly, the image is exactly the space we have introduced before. And the proof is remarkably stupid, in fact. This is the proof is just by what people in either planar or metalloid call deletion, this thing of removing. There are too many ideas. Use this. Use the fact that you should never use the torus, but you should use an abelian compact Lie group. Why? Because, of course, if you remove a vector, you could get torsion. You know, if you take the kernel of a character, you know, it doesn't mean that, the character would be x squared. So you end up having non-connected subgroups. So if you have this idiotic idea, which I had it at 5 o'clock in the morning, I was very happy, and then you use this, and then you use formal properties of K theory, so namely, existing functoriality, exact sequences, more or less you prove this very easily. So the main ingredient is to have identify the image. Once you know what the image is, then the proof is very easy. So the surprising fact is that no explicit computation of the index are used in the proof, but just functorial properties of equivalent K-theory and of the index. An induction on the cardinality of X, once realized, should not work with a torus, but with an arbitrary abelian Lie group, compact abelian Lie group. So this is the paper that is now available, and it's really rather easy paper. But it really, first of all, has a lot to do with the hyperplane arrangement, and also a lot of ideas of this removing and adding a vector, which is typical of Matroid theory, and these people use it all the time, and I would not have. Okay, so let me make some consideration. Of course, in this case, we were motivated by this K-theory, but what about equivalent cohomology? It should be easier. In fact, it is easier, because equivalent cohomology has to do with differential equations and not with difference equations. So there is an easier version of all this, in which one computes, instead of number of integral points, he computes volumes. Volumes are more or less the highest degree component of this quasi-polynomial, so it's much easier computation. And then the corresponding function is called the multivariate spline, is what these people really use in approximation theory. In this case, one uses the directional derivative instead of difference operator. And so he has a system of partial differential equations, which has a solution, a graded space, and remarkable thing is graded space, as I mentioned, equal to the number of bases, and is graded, and the graded components are related to what is called the external activity of the matroid, of each basis in the matroid. This was been shown by people in numerical analysis, in fact. And so then you define a Q-vector space in a similar way, and then you show that this Q-vector space is the equivalent cohomology with compact support. So this is much easier result. And you can also say something about the equivalent cohomology without compact support in usual control, but it's somewhat more complicated. And in fact, in these cases, you see that you have a localization principle that allows you to write really the K-theory as a direct sum of local contribution having to do with stabilizers. So, I don't know, I thought that this was known, that one could also localize K theory, of course, but it seems it's not completely known, and so it suggests that probably one can have, a generalization of this famous Easterbrook, Atiyah, Siegel, business about completion at zero, but completion at all points which have stabilizer, and then the some completion of the Kedirin should be the direct sum of this. So it should be recovered by equivalent cohomology, but of local pieces. But this is some work in progress which maybe will never exist also, because I don't know now. Okay, so this is what I wanted to say about K-theory. Of course, we did it only there, and we did it by combinatorics, by hyperplane arrangement theory, and, you know, it's nothing to do. I mean, it's pure combinatorics. One gets something in topology because you have the previous isomorphism, so I'm out of time, but I also am out of slides, so good. And then the next thing, although they say that you reduce to abelian group, I feel that one should really have a result which also for any compact group, which tells you exactly what is the K-theory of this TG star TGM for any representation. My guess is that this should have to do with all possible complex structures you can put on the representation, and probably could be some module related to postulation of some vector bundle or on some variety we associated to this, maybe even the projective space of this, but this is not at the moment. I don't know, I have no examples. So in this case you can give you can give a basis for this. You can explicitly, even if you don't compute any index, you can know exactly what are the indices, because these partition functions give you generators for the module, and from this, and using ideas from combinatorics of Matroid, you can really write down an explicit basis of these spaces. So you can really say what are the symbols, I mean, explicit, of course. So the hope is that even for compact groups, one could have similar phenomena. So that's all. Yeah, there is in this case. But this was known to Kovansky and Pulkyov in this case. If you translate into K-theory and cohomology via this, results from partition functions, you immediately get equivalent Cherk character, equivalent Riemann-Roch, and so on. So it's sort of vocabulary that, before it was vocabulary from toric geometry to combinatorics, now it's from this to index theory. I mean, it seems that you have, one would like to have something for a compact manifold with GX, not to pass through this case. I mean, one would like to do topology, not combinatorics. Yeah. This exists? Ah, good, because Michel Venn didn't know, she was my personal expert, so maybe you should give me the reference, because I conjectured that, and even had more or less a proof, but I'm not so good, so with odds, but, so it exists. I was sure about that, Thank you very much. Recharge. So you see that at
the end. I know this is the context you want, but for content I have this. This is split in terms of order folds, okay? You have a compact space with a G acting with finite isotropy, okay? Mm-hmm. Then this is the Ecuadorian case here, it breaks up.
This probably has a lot to do. I see. Thank you very much. Can I have it?
Of course. Sure.
Did you like?
Oh yeah, very much. Yeah. I like this connection. Of course, I like Ecuadorian K theory, but I like the way you connect it.
The idea wrote us that Now it seems that this transversal ellipsis operator are becoming important in theory, because, you know,
Well, it's true that this formula is in Eckhart and K theory. It was the physicist. Yeah. You know, they defined an overflow of Euler characteristics. It turned out to be this formula.
Oh, thank you very much. Because, you know, Michel Gondry didn't know, and I was almost sure, because it's so, and even I had approved, more or less approved, because I say, I feel it, and then I do a spectral sequence.
Yeah. You have to just do it on cells.
I knew the proof, but I'm lazy, you know, to do it, So I was more or less pretty sure that they would.
And really, the problems occur when you have isotropic, which are not fine.
Yeah, but then I think you should complete.
Okay, that's great.
Then you can localize.
Because you think when it's finite, your completion and localization coincide more or less. But when it's not finite, you have to complete. You have to use it. I think
the Spiegel has a formula.
Yeah, I remember, you know. When I was really young, I was a topology, you know.
Ah, secretly.
I started.
You can tell a little bit.
I wrote my PhD thesis on cohomology of finite groups of Lie-type, you know.
It
was elusive, you know, about Quill and stuff. But, you know, I was very disappointed because in Italy, first of all, there was no topology.
Uh-huh.
And also I got a big incident with dismay, you know, because
his
students had done the same, but, you know, I was a poor guy, you know, and I think my group was better, but, you know, more elementary.
Actually, I had the same experience. He actually wrote to me once.
He refused my, the paper was badly written because I didn't know English very well, but, you know, it was a very interesting paper, but he tried to stop it from public. I was really, really...
Well, he did the same to me. Well, he didn't like to...
I never met this man in my life, but I
wrote him. He wrote to me, he said, we can write the correct version of this.
Yeah, and also what he did is that this was my first meeting, my review, Matt Ferry made a long review, it was very nice, and so unfortunately the exposition is extremely bad. Yes.
Can you save it in a lower version?
Because
we don't have this.
I don't know. Can we try? Do you want the tech or you want the PDF?
If it doesn't work, I'll be emailing.
I can email it to you.
I can
email it from here.
No, this is fine.
But I think it's fine. It's okay. But you want the PDF or you want the text?
Yeah, the PDF.
Okay.
So the PDF should be all right.
Okay. Oh, no way. What is going on? He's looking for drivers. It's ready. He says, it's ready. Okay. So I'm sorry.
No.
But, you know, I was...
I have Vista at home. And I know my husband's had terrible...
Yeah, no, is even Vista with 64 bits, so it's... Because I have a, you know, very crazy son, who likes new technology. Okay. Oh my God. It is low. So if it doesn't work, we just close it down. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Have you closed all this stuff?
I do.
Yeah, I am already... I am already posted, you know, for the Jerry thing. So I become, you know, the enemy of this place, because all my bad talks will be...
MSRI is even more
afraid. Yeah, no. They videotape.
Oh, do they? No, we're not that
Technology
is pretty fancy.
Yeah.
But it's kind of daunting.
Yeah, there is some money. Yeah. They are slightly manic,
you forget about it almost immediately. You know, you sign away your rights in some form, and they hook you up like this, but they have video cameras.
And
you start your lecture and you forget about it.
But this is good. At
but then, like when you pause to collect your thoughts, at
and
some point,
went,
you remember.
Oh, no, I agree. I mean, I think that there is time, but you can refuse, I think, to be.
Yes, you can. That's right. But I very much like this practice of, you know, if you have slides or, you know,
to file, put them. Yeah.
I like when I organize something locally at LSU. I would have the abstracts posted, and then after they give me their files, those get posted too. So there's
no, nice, but I must say that I don't know. Maybe you go too fast, but I think you managed to say more. I mean, especially in a talk like this, which was more without proofs. I think it's.
There are certainly risks. And, you know, I personally, I prefer to write.
Yeah, but, you know, if you write...
Precisely
like,
because of this, you know, it slows you down.
Yeah.
But you're reasonably well experienced.
No, well, I have the... I have the first 10 minutes to read it here. You know, my strategy. Because then you can... At least the people will be happy, you know, to see an example.
The reference that Dr. Adem just gave you for the case, may I have the reference as well?
Yes.
Oh, is this it?
Yes.
Oh, I need to write it down?
The microphone.
Oh.
Perfect. Thank you. but I'm going to go turn it
off. Okay, go turn it off. Great, excellent. You're forcing me to wear this.
They're still recording.
Yeah, they're recording, but it just, we won't, everybody won't get feedback in here.